It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. Welcome to episode 29 of Taylor Talk, everybody. It is September 9th. This is Adam.
Belle.
Maya.
Diane.
And Haley.
We got a big crowd for you and a happy, happy, fun episode planned. Before we get rolling, let's hear from Rick Barker with his music industry blueprint tip of the week. Rick?
Hey guys, it's Rick Barker with the music industry blueprint tip of the week here on Taylor Talk, and something I tried with one of my artists this week. I know Adam mentioned Jordan Pruitt, who is on The Voice, and Jordan, who is a lot like a lot of artists right now, she basically spends 95% of her time on Twitter and focuses only on Twitter. So recently, as we were doing the 7-song free download with Jordan, and you can find her at jordanpruittmusic.com. That's J-O-R-D-A-N-P-R-U-I-T-T music.com. I told her that people were starting to leave comments on her Facebook page. And I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you tweet your Facebook link and tell folks that you're going to be over on Facebook chatting with them? And the next thing you know, she ends up with 183 comments. And all she was doing was hearing what the fans had to say and responding back to them accordingly. And the results were huge. So my tip this week is don't forget about your other forms of social network. If you are going to have a Facebook page, make sure people see that you're there. If you're going to have a Twitter, make sure people know that you're there and interact with both. The key there is just to continue to interact with your fans. If you'd like more free music advice, log on to the taylortalk.org website. Click on the Music Industry Blueprint link, where I have 7 days of free music for you. Enjoy the rest of the show, and I'll talk to you next week.
So, this episode's going to be an interesting one. We were normally scheduled for one of our small talk work in the weathers this week, which is our shortened format. But because there's so much going on, we're going with kind of a hybrid version where it's going to be a mid-length episode. It's going to include some small talk stuff, some regular episode stuff, and that's just how it's going to be.
So learn it, live it, love it.
What Belle said. So, Diane.
Yes?
Knock, knock.
Oh,
who's
no.
There?
Oh, goodness.
Doctor.
Doctor who? Oh!
How'd you guess?
Because I've been watching that show all week.
I oh love that God. Show.
I just finished the first season.
I'm obsessed with that show.
It is the best
Everybody
show.
Everybody seems to be obsessed with that show, and I have yet to watch a single episode.
I'm with you, Belle. Get to it.
It's so good.
You should probably do that later.
Give
today.
It a try. It's yeah. fantastic.
It's on Netflix, Belle. Get Netflix instant. It's like $7 a month, and you can watch unlimited Doctor Who.
You can just sit around and watch Doctor Who all day.
I could, but then I would be really unproductive.
No, it's great. You will
it's
not
totally
regret
with it.
It.
All right. So you guys want to know something cool the other day?
Yes.
Okay, so I woke up, which is always a good way to start the day. By
it is.
Up, and I had a dream the night before that I convinced Ellen DeGeneres to come on Taylor Talk.
Wow.
That would be really awesome.
It's too bad wouldn't that was cool? just a dream.
Yeah. If anybody out there knows Ellen, tell her to come on Taylor Talk. That'd be fun.
I actually had a dream that like started off having nothing to do with anything important, and it ended with me having to present an award to Taylor, only I had no idea what the award really was or what I was supposed to say. And so she gets up there, and I'm like, here's your award.
Here you go.
And everybody was staring at me, and I just felt like an idiot. I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. No one told me.
That's okay.
And she was just like, okay, I'm just going to smile. It was really awkward.
All right. Diane, kick it off with the calendar, please.
We have some great news for the South American Swifties. This Thursday, September 13th, Taylor is going to be at the Citibank Hall in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And she's going to do a performance for you guys. And the event time is still to be announced. So we don't have any more information about that. But hopefully TaylorSwift.com will update and then you guys can go.
Woohoo! Yay! Go Brazil!
So on September 22nd, the iHeartRadio Music Festival in Las Vegas is going to happen. So that's going to be pretty exciting to see her back in Vegas.
She hasn't been here in a long time. I've been there.
Not for a performance, at least, for award shows and all she's been in Vegas. But no, last performance was on the Fearless tour.
You missed out.
Yeah.
I missed out?
You did miss out.
I did miss out. I live in Vegas and I didn't even go to that. Uh-oh.
Despicable.
That's terrible.
Despicable, Adam.
Yeah, somebody hit me
despicable
now.
Despicable me.
Not literally.
Ow! You have to be careful, Adam, about what you wish for with that.
I know, clearly. I'm getting beat up while we're recording.
And our final calendar item that I'm pretty sure you guys all know about by now is on October 22nd, some girl is releasing some album or something. So, like, if you want to go buy it, you know, it's cool.
Maybe.
Might get around to
it. Cool if you do, cool if you don't, you know, no big deal.
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm totally not looking forward to it at all.
No, me either.
No, it's really not very exciting.
Okay, Maya, would you like to announce it with some real excitement now?
Actually, okay, you guys all know on October 22nd, Taylor's new album Red is coming out.
Yay!
In the U.S. and Canada and Australia and Japan. So, our listeners from all of those places, you can go get the album on that day. And we'll all listen to it together.
I'm looking forward to it.
And we'll be so happy.
So, have any of you guys heard anything about other country releases? Because I know we've been getting tweets about it, and I don't know, because those four countries are the ones listed on TaylorSwift.com. So,
I haven't that's heard all anything I know about other now. Places yet. But when we find out more, of course, we will mention it.
Of course! So, Belle's going to give us the news.
So, we have some cool news. So, I'm sure you guys probably know, and if you don't, then I'll tell you. Next month. In November is going to be the Country Music Awards. Yay, the CMAs. Those are super exciting. I love them. And Taylor has three nominations. She's nominated for Female Vocalist of the Year. Awesome. For Musical Event of the Year with Safe and Sound featuring the Civil Wars, which is really cool. And I mean, that was an amazing collaboration. You guys got to back me up here.
Oh, yeah, was awesome.
So that would be really awesome to see her get that. And of course, the Amazing Entertainer of the Year.
Woo!
Yay! I would pretty much die if she got that, and it would just make me happy. It made me really, really happy when she won the ACMs for that, because we got to see that.
Last time she got Entertainer of the Year was when, like, 2009 or 2010?
From the CMAs?
She's gotten it twice.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think it was last year. Because I think she got it last year, and then the year before that was Brad Paisley, and the year before that was her.
You think it was last year? So I'm looking that up real quick.
I thought she was second two in a row.
I think she was 2009 and 2011.
You are right. Both 2009 and 2011, Taylor won Entertainer of the Year. She got Female Vocalist of the Year in 2009.
Okay.
And this is the first time she's been nominated for Musical Event of the Year.
Right.
Cool. Now that we get that.
I consider that extremely exciting.
Sweet.
Yay. So anyways, she is also attending tonight, as we speak right now, the Canadian Country Music Awards in Saskatoon, Canada. And
what a cool name.
What?
Cool name. Saskatoon.
Saskatoon. I know, I keep thinking it's like cartoon, but it's not. It's Saskatoon. And then I just picture all these cartoon country singers in my head.
I'm sure that's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, I bet.
Right? Right? And but here's the cool part, though, is that she is going to be the first person ever to receive a brand new award called the Generation Award. And basically, it's like, quote-unquote, celebrating those who have been propelled beyond the borders of country music genre onto an international stage. So basically, they're just celebrating her awesomeness.
Like, it literally sounds like they invented an award for Taylor. Like, that's like a really just a good description of her as a person.
It really is. It's like the perfect description of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, congrats on that, Taylor.
And she's also presenting tonight.
Thumbs up to Taylor.
We hope you're having fun.
Yeah.
In Canada.
We miss you.
And finally.
With their Monopoly money. I love Canadian Monopoly money. I think it's awesome.
It's
also awkward though when I'm in Canada and I have to pay with it because I feel like I'm paying with fake money.
Oh, you're just talking about Canadian money. I thought you were really talking about Canadian Monopoly money and I just...
I'm talking about, like, Canadians' real money, and it reminds me of Monopoly money, so every time that I'm in Canada, and I'm paying with, like, Canadian money, I feel like I'm paying with fake money, and I feel guilty.
Well, don't feel guilty, because it's their real money.
Yeah, I know.
Just so you know.
And final bit of news, there are a few different Red packages available for pre-sale on TaylorSwift.com. First one is the bonus package, selling for $19.99, which includes the Red CD itself, a bracelet, special note from Taylor, and a sticker. Then next up is the deluxe package for $49.99, which includes everything from the bonus package, plus a limited edition print, and a Tervis cup, which looked kind of like a coffee cup to me.
Yeah, it's like one of those portable coffee cups.
It holds one of those both thermal hot mugs and cold.
Ooh, fancy.
And then the biggest, most awesomest, awesome package is the Ultimate Package, selling for $169.99, which has everything from the Deluxe Package, which has everything from the Bonus Package. And then the print itself is in a frame with a signed CD insert, and then it also includes a blanket. So I really
isn't
want
the
that
print
one
signed, too?
No, the CD insert is in the frame with the print, and the CD insert is what's signed.
Okay.
And so they're just framed together.
I see.
And the print is the picture from We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Wanna go but
yes, that Wait, one.
GBT. Yay.
That's what I've been calling it because of the abbreviation. So, carrying along to our first segment, it's, I'm gonna provide a disclaimer here. I think all you listeners need to go grab a tissue box right now.
I think we all need to go grab a tissue box right now.
Everyone, you got your tissue boxes on hand?
I'm ready.
Yeah. I have a confession to make for the listeners, though.
What?
So, we tried to record this once before, just this section, and we had to scrap it because we could not stop crying. Literally.
Especially me and Beth. Again.
Hoping for less crying this time.
Yeah, we're going to try to do a little less crying and a little more talking, because seriously, it was just a bunch of weepy girls going, this is so sad, I can't handle it. But like, for real.
Belle, I'm neither weepy nor a girl.
Yeah,
Adam?
Adam didn't cry at all.
Adam didn't cry because he has no heart.
Because Adam is made of stone.
Heart is made of stone.
I'm a gargoyle.
Yep.
We were just not composed enough to speak about this at the time.
Right, so I think before we do this, we all need to take a deep breath together. Ready? One.
Okay, ready? Exhale.
Okay.
Alright, guys, let's get to the chase.
I'm ready.
Alright, so who wants to provide some background on Ronin? We've all read up on it. Who feels comfortable talking about it? Without crying.
Without crying? That's a challenge.
I think I can manage without crying.
Alright, go for it, Maya.
Okay, well, Ronin is a little boy who died from a neuroblastoma, which is obviously a type of cancer. And he died, in 2012, right?
He 2011.
Died in,
2011.
Okay.
Maybe was it April or May?
May.
It was May. It was 3 days before his fourth birthday.
Yeah, he is diagnosed in 2010, and he fought a very hard 8-month battle with cancer. His mom decided to make a blog because of her experience, and she just started writing, like, I don't know, a lot. I mean, she still has the blog, you can look at it, but she would just blog every day about how she was feeling, and she would write letters to him and things like that. And somehow Taylor and her mom came across that blog and ended up meeting her at a concert and sort of bonding a bit. And then a little while after that, sort of out of the blue, her mom, whose name is Maya, like me, got a phone call. Well, she said she wrote a blog post today that you guys can go check out. She said she looked at her phone, saw she had a new voicemail, and listened to it, and it says, "Hey, this is Taylor Swift. Can you call me back?" And she called her back, and she told her that she'd written a song about her son, and she wanted to sing it on Stand Up to Cancer and give all the money to cancer research. So that's pretty much what happened. And her mom is credited as a co-writer on the song, too, because a lot of the words used in the song are stuff that Taylor took from the blog post.
From the blog. I found a really cool compilation of, I guess that's the right word? Compilation?
No. Compilation.
Compilation. There we go, that word. Of different quotes from Maya Thompson's blog compared to the lyrics in the song. Yeah, and I'm not going to read all of them because I would cry, but there's one really good one. Here's a quote from the blog. "Your clothes are still in your drawers. Your closet is filled with all the things you never even got to wear. The hand-me-downs from your brothers in bins in your closet." And that is just, you know, like Taylor read that, you know, she was, you know, inspired by that, and so she put, she kind of transposed that into her own song lyrics, and made that part of the song. It's just heavy.
Yeah.
Very. Well, I think one of the most depressing things when somebody passes away at such a young age is the things they never get to do. The things they never get to experience.
Yeah.
The moments they don't get to spend with their families.
Yeah, everyone was talking about that one line in the song, the Halloween line, that, like, everyone started crying when, you know, the line in the song.
What's the line, Maya?
It's about to be Halloween, you could be anything you wanted if you were still here. Cue everyone crying.
Yeah, that's also from the blog. Maya wrote, I'd totally let you be Hanky the Christmas Pooh for Halloween. Actually, I'd let you be Hanky every day if that's what you wanted, if you were still here.
I'm sorry, that's like one of those things. It's intended to... I mean, Hanky the Pooh is from South Park. I'm sure some of you know that. So it's just funny because it's like a sad thing. It's talking about an experience her son's never going to have, but at the same time, she's also talking about her son dressing up as a giant piece of poop.
Well, if that's what he liked to do, I mean, more power, you know, to him, little boy.
I mean, I don't know. I just think it's amazing that, like, even though this woman had to go through this horrible thing, her whole family did, and obviously her little boy did, that, like, now there's so many positive things coming out of it. Like, that, I mean, that song is number one on iTunes right now, which means that a lot of people have bought it, and all of that money is going to cancer research.
It even dethroned We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together.
I know. Number Taylor outranked herself.
Taylor outranked herself. On iTunes.
I know.
Yeah, she beat herself with that. So, I mean.
I saw some funny tweets that were like that awkward moment when we're all cheering for Taylor to beat herself on iTunes.
That's funny. But going back to the lyrics, I thought one of the most powerful parts of the song, to me at least, was there's a verse towards the end that has what if this, what if that, what if, and it keeps asking these what if questions, presenting hypothetical situations as to what would happen if Ronan were still here.
Yeah.
And I thought that one was very powerful emotionally, that idea.
What killed me, to be honest, is the line, I love you to the moon and back, because there's this children's book called Guess How Much I Love You, that my dad used to read to me when I was little, and I had to, like, look this up again to jog my memory, because the second that was what busted me out crying, was just hearing that line. And I had to, like, think about why, and, like, where have I heard this? So I looked at the book, and then I got all those memories rushing back to me from when I was a kid. And it's about this, you know, little boy who's trying to show his dad how much he loves him, and they're having this argument, basically, about who loves the other one more. And the dad was like, well, I love you right up to the moon. And the kid's like, I love you to the moon and back.
Aww.
And that just completely broke me down when I heard that line, and I had to, like, look up the book and figure out, like, where I heard it, and then once I remembered, it just totally hit me all over again, and I started crying again.
You know, Ronan's mother, Maya Thompson, I believe actually used that line in her blog, and I think that's where Taylor got it from.
Yeah, I think she uses it, like, a lot of times when she writes to him. That's, like, her kind of her sign-off thing at the end.
Ronan, when he was alive, he would say that to his mom. So that's where she got it from.
There's actually, if you go on her blog, which is rockstarronan.com, there's some videos of him. There's some really adorable videos of him, like, saying, there's, like, such a cute one. Like, it's, like, maybe, I don't know, a minute. And it's just her, like, filming him, like, running through the halls in the hospital. And, like, they get in the elevator and they're just talking. He just goes, I love you. Like, just, like, out of nowhere. Aww. And he's like, you're my best friend.
Aww.
It's so cute. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know, like, I liked watching those because it's sort of like you got to see him being happy and, like, having fun, even though he was, like, in a hospital gown, like, with no hair. Like, he was still smiling. So, I don't know. He seems like a great kid, and I definitely understand why Taylor was inspired by him and his story and all of that.
You know, there's a news article, Diane, you showed it to me earlier, talking about how this song may be like Taylor at her finest hour, because it's really... What did it say exactly about it?
It said it was poignant, she showed maturity, and...
It was basically like polar opposite from We Are Never Ever Going to Get Back Together, which is all poppy and fun and silly and...
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, this just, I guess, just goes to show all the people who were, like, pissed at, like, saying that she's, like, not a good writer anymore, like, annoyed that she's not writing good stuff. Like, it's not that she can't write, she's just, like, choosing her own direction for her singles and her fun stuff that goes to radio, but obviously she still has her serious songwriting chops in there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the best things about, you know, her writing is that she can write a song like this poppy, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, and I know we already had the discussion about, like, what people are saying about it and everything, but then she writes something like this and sings this live, and if you watch the live performance, you cannot say that this woman does not have depth and heart. She was trying so hard to keep it together, and then she was crying backstage.
Did you see the pictures of her leaving the studio?
Oh my god, yeah. Her crying?
Like, literally crying and, like, wiping at her eyes.
It's horrible. She's, like, holding on to her mom and, like, more or less sobbing. It's, like, heartbreaking.
She, to me, when I was watching the video of the performance, because I didn't get to see it live, it seemed like she was trying to fight back tears on stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of just, she started crying at the end when she finished the song.
She was so strong for doing that because, like, when we were trying to record our reactions from the song, like, we couldn't handle it, yeah. You know, the first time. And that was the first time anyone had heard that song and she knew that. So that was the first time, you know, anyone had, you know, like, in a large scale heard about this poor little boy. And it was her job to tell the world about that. And if that was my job, I would have just broken down. Like, I don't think I could have been able to sing that song in front of millions of people.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. I mean, I think she knew, like, how much... I mean, obviously it meant a lot to her, and she knew how much it would mean to the Thompson family and to, you know, everyone else who has been through losing a loved one to cancer. And
do you know what's interesting is reading up on the background of Ronan. You know, Taylor approached Maya Thompson and said, I wrote this song for Ronan, and actually asked her permission to perform it for this Stand Up to Cancer telecast. And it's, I mean, at risk of being insensitive and cracking a joke right now, like, what would Taylor have done if Maya Thompson said no?
Yeah, did she have a backup plan?
I mean, I'm sure she could have come up with something, but, like, I don't know, I think she just, you know, I don't think she thought she was going to say no. She just sort of wanted to give her the
option.
I mean, it was her way of telling her, because in the same phone call was when she told her that the song was there at all.
Right, so, of course.
I think she sort of knew. It's not like her mom was going to be like, no, I don't want you to sing that song on live television and get millions of dollars for cancer research. That doesn't sound like a good idea at all.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine somebody saying that.
You know, Maya Thompson is not motivated by monetary benefits.
No,
or
and
like
obviously Taylor knows that. It was more like asking permission to sing about her little boy in front of 100 countries.
So I remember also reading that, you know, when they first met at that meet and greet type experience and Taylor first got the chance to talk to Maya Thompson in person about Ronan, afterwards, a bunch of people would tell Maya, you know, oh, you should try and get Taylor Swift to support this, and you should get her to do that, and you should get her to donate money, and things like that. And Maya's like, no. She's like, if Taylor is going to do something to support Ronan and the cause, I want it to happen organically and naturally, and I want it to be how Taylor feels comfortable helping. I don't want her pressured into helping us.
I mean, and it was also even, it's like, she felt like she'd done enough just by, like, reading her story and acknowledging it and talking to her. Like,
right.
She's like, I don't even need anything else from her because she took the time to do that. And, you know, she met her and she met her husband and her sons and, like, gave them all big hugs and talked to them all about how sorry she was and all of that. I think she sort of felt like it was, like, a gift enough.
You know what I thought was great about Maya when she got the meet and greets? She extended it to the little girls who had cancer as well. She thought of other people.
That was sweet.
Yeah, that was really sweet.
And then Taylor invited her to another show the next day, and she brought her family to that one. Okay, well, and if you want to donate to the cause, to help fund cancer research, If Ronin is on iTunes in your country, then you can go to iTunes and get it. It is $1.29. And all the proceeds go to cancer research. If Ronin is not available in your iTunes, which I know is the case for a bunch of countries, if you go on the Big Machine website, or actually we'll post a link in the episode guide, they've provided a link so that anyone who lives anywhere can buy the song and the money will go to charity. So just look for the link to that in our episode guide.
If you guys want to donate more than just buying the song, there's an address that you can send donations directly to on Maya's blog. It's at www.rockstarronin.com, and we'll have that linked on our episode guide too.
Where is the episode guide, guys?
Oh.
On TaylorTalk.org.
TaylorTalk.org. Visit TaylorTalk.org for everything in this episode.
All right, now that we brutally beat you all down, you can probably set the tissue boxes aside, because we're about to pick you back up with some If Swifties Rule the World / You Know You're a Swiftie When.
Woo, let's right. do it. Let's Yay. Cheer ourselves up.
Yeah, we needed a little cheer up now. The first one is from Frog on Taylor Connect, who said, you know you're a Swiftie when your teacher eventually notices that you love, love, love Taylor and is like, well, what are your five favorite Taylor songs? I'll download them.
That's awesome.
Sweet. Converting your teacher. I approve.
What a cool teacher.
Rock on.
This next one comes from VegLove from Twitter. And she says, you know you're a Swiftie when you see Zach Gilford on TV and immediately think of Taylor.
Aww.
That's funny. So Zach Gilford was the male lead in the Hours music video, right?
Yes.
He was the army guy.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Got it. All right. Next submission is from @Jade_Taylor13 on Twitter, who says, if Swifties ruled the world on October 22nd, we would all camp out in front of stores to buy Red. Then at school the next day, you tell your teachers you are suffering from Swiftieitis.
I like that.
Cute.
That one was funny.
Oh, I'm next. Okay.
Hi,
the
Maya.
Next one. Hi. The next one is from TitanicFreak123 on Twitter. And she said, you know you're a Swiftie when you're at the makeup store with a friend, find Wonderstruck, and start running around spraying the store.
Hey, it's better than an Abercrombie where they spray their stuff all over and it just gives
my gosh, that stuff gets in your eyes. I cannot stay in that store that long because of the smell.
I'd rather spray Wonderstruck.
Wonderstruck is much better.
Yep.
Our next one is from TaySwift_Swifty. And they said, if Swifties ruled the world at school, our color would be white and red, our mascot Taylor, and we would sing Long Live for the Pledge.
That sounds like so much fun.
Perfect song for like a, I love that. It's perfect. So the last one is from Red on Taylor Connect, and it says like, you know you're a Swiftie when you're home alone and you have nothing to do, so you put We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together on loop and blast it throughout the house.
Nice.
Fantastic.
I'm guilty of that.
Yeah, that's, me too.
Me too.
Sweet. Thanks for all those submissions, everyone. Start sending them in for next week's episode. That way we can include your submission. Woohoo! Hey,
also, don't forget to send us some voicemails.
Yes, please. Voicemails. For all the methods of contact, of course, you can go to taylortalk.org, click the contact link. We got all those there. There's lots of them.
Yeah.
On a lighter note than our first main discussion, second main discussion is going to be on Taylor's VMA performance from this past week. Initial thoughts. Go.
It was awesome.
Hilarious.
Sweet.
Fun.
So right as the performance was ending, my friend Liz, Between the Moon on Twitter, sends me a text, and I look at it to read it, and it says, you know, Grant makes an excellent-looking furry.
He does, it's true.
Which, of course, we predicted, or semi-predicted. Who was it? Was
Diane
it Diane?
Was show up in, yeah, the
I will
costume.
Take credit for that.
Diane, you'll take credit for that, it? If it yes, whoever it was in the last episode, someone tried to predict. They're like, I wonder if the agency will dress as woodland creatures at the VMA performance.
And they did.
They sure did. And then Taylor, of course, if you want to go with her costume, I was thinking throughout the whole performance, I'm like, ooh, I found Waldo!
On YouTube. Actually, there's a guy that I watch on YouTube a lot, and he made like a recap video of the VMAs, and it was, Where's Waldo? And he's like, look, I found her!
He totally stole my joke. What gives?
He posted the video like a day after the show, so...
Oh, I tweeted about it.
I think you stole
his dick.
When
the show ended. He stole mine.
Well, he made the video when the show ended, so...
I don't like him anymore.
Oh. Adam got his feelings hurt.
So, do we think Taylor pulled off a successful first performance of We Are Never Ever Get Ever 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 Getting Back Together?
Yes,
I thought
absolutely.
It was awesome. I read a New York Times article about the VMAs that made me very happy, that essentially said that Taylor, you know, they talked about Taylor finishing off the show and that the performance was just kind of cute and fun, and that at this point, like, the VMAs need her a lot more than she needs the VMAs.
And I love that.
She just, like, you know, she was gracious and funny, and but she's sort of doing that for them. Like, if she doesn't even need any more help. Like, she's
well,
just...
Well, you know what? In all honesty, they're right. Like, I would not have watched the VMAs, and I actually... Nobody hurt me. I did not watch the VMAs. I only watched her performance.
I didn't watch them either. It's okay.
I actually didn't either. I just watched Taylor's thing, and then...
I think we're all
kind of like
Adam, so...
I mean, I don't have a TV, so I was, like, kind of watching the backstage cam, like, while I did my homework, and waiting for people to mention Taylor, and then I would look...
So I have to say one more thing, though. Nobody interrupted her performance.
Hey.
Yeah, second time in a row.
That's always good.
I liked how she like, did some dancing almost.
Yeah, I was going to say that. She had things that were choreographed.
She's still not good at it, but I mean,
she No,
did
she
give
did
it.
Fine. She was in rhythm.
She was a lot better.
She gave it the good... Yeah, well, she's trying. I will give her credit for trying. She always
her
tries.
Awkward dancing is fabulous for her.
It's part of who she is.
I mean, she did like a lift and everything. It was impressive.
Yeah, and at the end, she crowd
surfed. Stage dove.
Oh, what was with what was with that? The crowd surfing.
That was hilarious. Yeah. I could not stop laughing.
There was another thing about that in the New York Times article that it was like less like some sort of like statement and more just like good performance skills. Like she's such a pro by now. Like she just knows what to do.
So this is the thing though with crowd surfing. Like, don't you think it would be really awkward for Taylor to be like, oh, somebody's got their hands on my butt right now.
Somebody does have their hands on her butt.
And from the flip side, if you're the audience member, does that give you, like, bragging rights? Like, I'm the one holding Taylor's butt right now.
It's funny, but it's pretty awkward. I think it's awkward.
She told us a story when we were at the web chat thing that during one of the performances of Enchanted, someone took one of her shoes.
What?
Off her foot?
Like, yeah, like, off her foot.
Oh my god, that's so weird.
Like, in the middle of the song, someone, like, pulled the shoe off her foot, and she had to just, like, keep going.
I don't
so she
off.
Was walking around with one shoe on, she pulled a Cinderella and left her shoe behind.
Yeah, she would just, like, had to keep going with the performance with one shoe on.
Did security
well, you know
not
what, I think
her
that shoe should have been lost, and then she should have had to, like, you know, be Cinderella, and someone should have had to be like, is this your shoe? And
I mean, it would have been in the middle... Of Enchanted, she was on main stage, so it must have been someone in the pit, like in the huge crowd. So I don't even know.
So weird.
I mean,
how do you
guess
pocket
there
Taylor's
were security
shoe?
Guards there, so I guess the person might have gotten like tackled, but she just had to keep going.
That's really funny.
But you know, she's a risk taker.
Clearly,
I guess, and I'm sure they like choreographed the stage dive, like okay, she's gonna dive into this section. You guys are gonna catch her, and then. Push it, you know, like, I'm sure they...
Well, of course, can you imagine what would happen if she dove off the stage and everyone's like, oh, I don't want to catch her, and they just let her drop?
They just moved aside, oh, not me.
Like the thing from Mean Girls, you know?
Yeah. Adam, don't laugh, you've never seen that movie.
I can laugh still, I can picture it in my head.
You guys...
You've never seen that movie?
I just want to, you know...
Of course I've seen it, a long time ago, though. I don't
want you to just eat it and be happy. I'm sorry, I have a lot of feelings.
Sorry.
So now, presumably, there's going to be a red tour, of course.
There's
a Fearless Tour, Speak Now tour. There's going to be a red tour. So, do you think the Woodland Creatures are going to make an appearance in the tour when it comes around?
Oh yeah,
I hope so.
I think after this performance, they must.
They better.
This is like live update stuff happening. I just saw a tweet that Taylor said in her CCMA acceptance speech that she's really excited to come to Canada on tour. So. I guess she's going to Canada on tour.
Well, she was in Canada on the Speak Now tour as well, so.
Yeah, so, but I guess, you know, she just, like, officially told them.
Oh.
That awesome. She's probably going to come back for Red Tour, so. Cool, awesome. Yay for you Canadian people.
Go Canada.
Yeah.
So, as we told you guys, at the beginning of the episode, this is a weird sort of hybrid between a shortened version and a longer version. So we're going to jump straight ahead to what our Swifties listening to. Zoe on Facebook told us that Swifties should be listening to a song called Strangely Beautiful by Maya. Help me with pronouncing it. Pronunciation
I'm
of his name.
I'm going to go with Shaylee.
Shaylee.
We're going with Shaylee.
Spelled S-H-E-A-L-E-I-G-H.
See, I think it's Shaylee because her Twitter is at Shaylee Daily. And, like, they rhyme. So, like, it's cute. So, like, I...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
My guess.
Yeah. And Shaylee. My brother actually, his name is Shay, and that's how he spells it. It's S-H-A-Y.
No, the Shay part is right. We're trying to figure out the Lee.
I think it's a Lee.
Spelled
I think
like
it's
Lee.
Lee. Yeah, I think it's Lee. As opposed to Lay. Like, no one's name is Lay.
Shaylee.
No,
that's and it could rhyme with itself. No, it's Shaylee. So, anyway, I guess she has a history with being a Disney singer?
Is that... Yeah, well, she's 14 years old, and she's from Illinois, and she won, like, a Radio Disney singing contest.
Cool.
And now she has a single called Strangely Beautiful, and it's on iTunes, and you can listen to it. It's pretty
and we
fun.
All listen. It's really catchy. It's only 99 cents. It's not an expensive purchase, so go jump yeah. on it. And
go
thanks for
that.
That submission, Zoe. Again, just another reminder, if you want to submit to any of our mini-segments, you can submit via voicemail, email, Facebook, Twitter, or Taylor Connect. All of our contacts for those are on taylortalk.org. So thanks for listening. Again, in our episode guide for this episode on taylortalk.org, this is 29, we're going to have all those important contact links for Ronin donations. So please go look at those. So yeah, go check out those links. Go donate cancer research. Help save some lives. For episode 29, this has been Adam.
Belle.
Maya.
Diane.
And Haley.
Said have a great day, guys. See you in episode 30.
Virtual hand hearts.
Virtual hand hearts.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.